Before I start the talk, can we close our eyes for a moment? You may now open your eyes. I'm not a mind reader, but I can guess what you're probably thinking now. Why did he ask us to open our eyes? Close your eyes, then open your eyes. You thought I was going to ask you to pray, didn't you? But I didn't. Or maybe you thought I was going to say something a bit profound, like a prophetic utterance or something. But then I didn't. If you were like me, you'd be wondering, what was the point of just closing your eyes and then opening your eyes? It didn't make sense, did it? Every now and then, people ask us to do things that may not make sense, don't they? At least that may not make sense to us. It probably made sense to me to ask you to close your eyes. It did make sense to me, and you will probably understand why in a moment, but you on the receiving end, maybe that did not make sense. Every now and then, your friend may ask you to do something, like tell you they're taking you to a party, and you ask them whose party, and they say it's a surprise, and they're not telling you, and you still follow them, even though the back of your mind you're thinking, what kind of surprise are they trying to pull? Perhaps children, you have been on holiday for a while. Sometimes mommy might say, don't eat that food yet. You see the food right on the table, you're hungry, already salivating, and may not make sense. If you've moved schools recently, maybe you moved school last time, and the teachers in the new school might have been asking you to solve maybe a math problem in a way that was very different from the way you were taught in your previous school. Or if you learned writing, maybe cursive, and then in this new school, they've been asking you to write in a different way, you may be wondering, why are they asking you to do it this way? It just doesn't make sense. Sometimes we don't understand the reason behind an instruction. But, just like when I said, close your eyes, you did it anyway, because I suppose you trust me a bit. I'm not going to sneak in and take something from your wallet or your purse while your eyes are closed, or nick your phone or something. When that friend says, follow me, to this party you don't know anyone there or know anything about, you do because there's an element of trust there. You trust mommy and daddy sometimes when they give these instructions, because it is expected that there is an element of trust. We see something similar in that reading from the book of Joshua chapter 6. The Israelites were standing in front of the famous wall of Jericho, a strongly fortified city, Jericho, with enormous walls. The Israelites had no chance of overrunning that city, considering the size of Jericho's wall. And enormous gates, I suppose. Then God gives Joshua a rather unusual plan, not the kind of military tactics that you will expect. God said to Joshua, who was the leader of Israel at that time, God said, once a day for 6 days, march around the city. March around the city. Just once for 6 days. Then on the seventh day, march around it 7 times. You know, the first 6 days when you're going around, make sure you don't shout, don't draw attention to yourself. But then on the seventh day, march around it 7 times. Then shout, blow the trumpet. What do you think of that military strategy to conquer a city? I know some of you are more intuitive. You've got more intuitive personalities, but if you're someone like me with a rather logical personality, I'm sure the alarm bells must have been ringing in my mind. What is going? What kind of instruction is this? Really? I can imagine Joshua telling the army generals, this is the plan for us to take Jericho. We're going to march once for 6 days, and then on the seventh day, we're going to march 7 times, and then we'll blow the trumpet. Really? It did not make much sense. But they did what God told them to do. Why? Because they trusted God. They had faith in God. And just as they were told, on the seventh day, having marched for 6 days just once and then marching 7 times the seventh day, and then blowing the trumpet and then shouting, the walls came down. The point wasn't in the walking around. The point wasn't some magic formula or some voodoo kind of things happening. No. The point was that God was asking his people to trust him enough to obey him. To trust him enough to obey him. Usually, people like teachers, parents, or pastors, I think the law goes hard on them when they abuse their trust, because by virtue of their position, people in their charge are supposed to trust them. If a stranger on the road just told you to close your eyes, like I said earlier, it would be foolish for you to do that, wouldn't it? But because you are in this church, and Timmy is the vicar, he says you should close your eyes. You are expected to, because usually there's an element, there should be that element of trust, or you may need to change churches, really. If you are in a school, and some of us here are teachers, many of us here are students, if a teacher says, solve this problem this way or whatever, you should be trusting in their wisdom. Otherwise, you are in the wrong school. And which is why when they abuse that trust, the law goes hard on them. God is the Almighty. He is our Father. If he says march around the city 6 times and then on the 7th day do that seven times and then shout, we will be doing ourselves a lot of good to listen, to trust, and obey. Faith in God listens, trusts, and obeys. In our second reading from Hebrews 11, we were told that Abraham was also told to do something that didn't make sense. Hebrews 11, by faith, Abraham was called to go to a place that he would later receive as an inheritance. He was told to a place that God said he was going to show him. He was told to leave his people, the familiar, his family, his friends, his neighborhood, to a place that God would show him. He didn't even tell him the name of the place to start with. Just follow me, I will show you. Did that make sense? Does that make any sense to any of you? Remember back in those days, they were in Google Maps. They were in mobile phones so that in case you notice it was a mistake, it wasn't God's voice, it was just your own mind playing tricks on you, at least you could probably retrace your step back. God simply said, in effect, come with me. And Abraham went. That wasn't common sense. In fact, I can imagine Abraham sharing that with some of his buddies, some of his friends, saying, I'm going to this place where I don't know. What do the people look like? I don't know. What kind of language? I don't know. God just says, follow me, I will show you. Is it far? I don't know. Doesn't make sense. I can imagine some of them probably whispering behind his back. So yeah, he's got it. Finally. Faith doesn't always mean knowing exactly where the road leads. Sometimes faith means trusting the one who is leading it. Abraham, just like Joshua and the children of Israel in our story, trusted, listened, trusted, and obeyed. The famous author C.S. Lewis beautifully put what I'm trying to describe. He said in one of his writings that to have faith in Christ means, of course, trying to do all that he says. To have faith in Christ means trying to do all that he says. Because if we really trust someone, we take them seriously. If a friend says, come with me, and you say, where? I'll show you, just come with me. Usually, your decision to follow or not, most of the time will be, synonymous with your trust in that friend. Of course, someone random in the street won't say, hey, come around to this alleyway. I want to show you something. I mean, come on. You don't trust them. Which is why children daddies and mommies and our teachers will tell us, don't talk to strangers. But if your friend or your daddy or mom that you trust says, do this, even when it doesn't make sense, or close your eyes, come into this dark room, close your eyes, normally we do it because we don't imagine they're going to trick us into some dangerous place. If a friend says, don't touch that thing, normally if you trust them, you hold back before you had, you then maybe ask questions. If you're trying to cross the road, children, and your parents say, hold on, grab my hand, you're expected to do that because you trust them. I keep giving all these examples so that we can see the correlations between us obeying God and not obeying Him. Sometimes we act out of faith, not realizing that actually the genesis of the problem, the root of the problem, is a lack of trust. We just don't know it. But that is the real issue. When God invites us to do something, we can trust Him that it means well for us. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 29, we were told that God's plan for us is to give us a future and an expected end. So we can trust Him. His plan is to do us good, to give us a future and an expected end. But then faith and faithfulness belong together. Because God's way of guiding us, even though it may not make sense to us, at least immediately, just like an instruction to walk around the city wall once a day for 6 days, and then on the seventh day to march around it 7 times, that instruction doesn't make any sense. The only reason they did it was because they trusted God. When we find ourselves in moments like that, it may not be God asking you to walk around a wall of Jericho, but something like that. But when you're having that nudging in your heart to do something that may not necessarily make sense, but you have a sense in your spirit that this is God leading you in this particular way. The point at such crossroads of life, the point is to trust in God, not in our own wisdom, even though our common sense may feel more appealing. Our logical brains may feel, may be thinking opposite to where God may be leading us. But when we understand God's ways, just like the children of Israel, they'd seen God parted the Red Sea, they'd seen incredible things happen. They knew that those instructions may not always make sense, but God means well for them. Remember 2 weeks ago, I encouraged us to commit a memory verse to heart, actually 2 verses. Who remembers the passage I asked us to commit to memory? It's from the book of Isaiah. Anyone? Isaiah 55. I've given enough clues. Kay, you remember that? No? For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Isaiah 55, verses 8 to 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither my ways are your ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and your thoughts higher than your thoughts. It may not make sense to you from where you are, but because God is God, a larger perspective, far wider than what we can think or imagine. At the best of times, we rarely even see the next steps clearly. But God sees what we cannot see. He sees the beginning from the end and the end from the beginning. And this was true in the story of Abraham, who was told to leave his people to a place he had no clue about. We saw what happened then afterwards. It was equally true for the children of Israel before the walls of Jericho. We saw what eventually happened when they listened, obeyed, and did what God said to them. Perhaps there's someone here today with a situation that looks like the wall of Jericho. You've tried and tried and tried to work it out, how to resolve this issue. Sometimes there are things that are just beyond our capacity to handle. But we have a God who knows all things, who is able to do all things. Maybe there's a problem at school. Maybe there's a decision about your future. Maybe you've made a very bad business decision. Maybe there's a friendship that has become painful. No matter what it is, if it feels like the wall of Jericho, there's no point getting an axe and trying to break through that wall. Let us seek the Lord's wisdom. The lesson for us to learn from Joshua is let us learn to engage God in those difficult situations. Now, if we obey God, that doesn't mean every wall will come down crumbling like it did in the case of the walls of Jericho. Sometimes, yes, God removes the obstacle, like he allowed the wall of Jericho to crumble. But sometimes what he does is gives us strength to climb through those walls. Some other times, he takes us in other directions. Some other times, he just allows us to learn and develop through those situations. But whatever happens, God can be trusted. He can be trusted. So the point is to make space, room, to hear God. There's one thing we sometimes forget, and it's that before Joshua could obey the instruction and share them with the fellow Israelites, he had to hear first. Before Abram could follow God, he had to listen to God. If those people don't make the space to hear or listen, are they going to hear? And that matters very much for us as well. And I know that we are all busy. Schoolwork, assignments, business commitments, family, friends, phones, games, television, social media, sports, the Premier League is back, and so on and so forth. There are many things competing for our attention. But it's got to be important for us to make space for God, to hear him through prayer, through the scripture, through just making some quiet time to still our minds and hearts. Because you can't hear if you don't make the room to hear, because it's just so noisy out there. So we've got to be deliberate about hearing God. The time won't create itself, so we need to carve it out intentionally. Just as friendships grow when we spend time with people we love and admire, our relationship with God can only grow when we spend time with Him. But God, if you can't, I mean, for us to hear God's voice, we need to make time to hear Him. We need to be around Him long enough to be able to listen. The Israelites didn't just listen once. They kept listening. They walk around those walls of around the walls of Jericho, not just for 10 seconds, but for day after day, day after day, doing repeatedly what God commanded them to. Those simple actions probably didn't mean much, but those little acts over and over added up in the end. And I suppose that was what God was just testing. It could have, the walls of Jericho could have just crumbled like that. But I suppose God was taking them through all these days of, you know, after day, to see if they were hanging there, if they will make room to do those instructions, if they will continue listening for His voice. So as I round up this talk, I'd like to remind us again that we may not need know where the road always leads, but we know the one who does. We may not know what tomorrow will bring, but we can trust the one who does. So if we trust God, the proof is in our making time to listen to Him and then to trust in Him and to keep walking by His instructions. Because faith listens, faith trusts, faith obeys. Faith listens, faith trusts, faith obeys. And when we walk with God, we can trust Him with whatever comes next, because His thoughts for us are to do us good, to give us a future and an expected end. May God help each and every one of us. Amen. This would be a good point to pray. So we have a time of open prayer, and can I encourage one or two people to lead us in a time of open prayer now? Thank you.